gaming. Gaming, gaming, gaming. We've got more games than you can wiggle a joystick at. Too much gaming rots your eyes. But listening to Tom and Matt Attack will educate your brain. Tom and Matt Attack. Well, as random introductions go, I think that was probably up there with our top one.
It was at least accurate. There's nothing for your eyes here.
No, there isn't.
Nothing.
You know, nothing.
Look at something interesting where you listen to this. Why not? Maybe, stare at the wall.
Maybe a Monet. Just get a Monet up on your screen and just look at it and go, oh, look at that subtle use of colour there. Oh, that's nice. That's good.
Beautiful. So you have to use your imagination a bit. This is a podcast.
While we
all
paint you a picture with words.
I'm Tom.
I'm Matt.
We never do this, do we? Introduce
no,
ourselves.
We don't. Well, we're 76 episodes in at this point, I think.
Yeah, I felt like 75 was a real milestone.
It was. I mean,
it's a number that really feels like a milestone. I don't know why. More than 85 or 65. 75.
64 was all right.
64?
Yeah, Nintendo. Sorry. I took the wind out of your sails. I want to be the wind beneath your wings,
No, but
Thomas.
Maybe it's about the right time for us to say who
hello.
We are again. And
how do you do? Yeah.
We do a weekly podcast on video games.
We do. We're not educated or qualified in any way, props, to speak about video games, other than we play an awful lot of them.
We've grown up with video games. I'd say we're more educated and qualified than most.
Perhaps we are. We do spend a lot of our time and energy and cash on the playing and partaking of video games.
And just for this podcast, we were looking at games on eBay's.
Yes, you were your CDI, me at the Game Boy. It'll give you an idea about tastes and preferences, I do believe. We're two British guys. We live in Denmark. We work for a toy company here in Denmark. Answers on a postcard, if you can guess which one. Yeah, and we play a lot of video games. We do a weekly podcast, as Thomas has said, on the subject of those video games. Usually we like to start off by saying what we've played in the week. Thomas, what have you played this week in
video
gaming?
This morning, I tried out what is considered to be a true classic among video games, and that would be Panzer Dragoon Saga on the Sega Saturn.
Yes, Tom. For those of you who haven't listened before, if we're going to do it this way, Tom's not really into JRPGs. I am quite a connoisseur of the Japanese role-playing spill.
No, I prefer more instant thrills.
He does.
As opposed to watching a 15-minute cutscene.
Which is what you did this morning.
You know, I had to appreciate, though, the art direction of... I mean, I really enjoy the... two games prior to Saga being Panzer Dragoon and Panzer Dragoon Zwei, which are great on the rail shoot 'em ups.
Yeah.
And I really do love the aesthetic in the world that we've created. It's very unique. And to see that kind of fleshed out a little bit more in an RPG, that's quite a tempting prospect. And I was willing to forgo my disinterest in RPGs to actually sample this game, which is usually quite hard to play because it's so obscure.
Yes, it is ludicrously expensive. I'm still kicking myself for not buying a copy about 5 or 6 years ago when I saw it for £80, and I was like, oh, do I really want to pay £80 for a game that I don't own the console for? And I didn't, and now I wish I did, because it's with upwards of about £250.
And you may be asking, why does a guy who doesn't like RPGs own Panzer Dragoon Saga? Well, I don't own the full game. I actually found the first disc on eBay for about a tenner, I think.
Yeah.
Interesting that the first disc of Panzer Dragoon Saga was given away free with the official Sega Saturn magazine in the UK.
Yeah.
Around the time of the game's release. It was released quite late on in the Sega Saturn's lifespan.
It was towards the end of it, I believe.
And there were very few copies of the game printed. So it's an obscure one that not many people got to play. It'd be great to see it remade, actually.
It would. Or a HD remastering of it. Or even, as you say, the digital rights are owned by a company. Why the hell don't they just release it digitally?
Not enough interest, apparently. But the source code, the original source code for the game, I discovered, has been lost.
Oh, really?
So the effort to reconstruct the game and re-release it, I think, would be quite considerable.
Shit.
So it could only ever see the light of day on its original format of the Saturn. And I only actually got to play a bit of the actual gameplay, but enough to kind of work out what it would be like.
Yeah.
There are some on foot segments, very straightforward. Your character called Edge.
Yes.
You're this boy who finds this crazy woman encased in stone underneath the ground. These other people want the woman. They carry her off in their big airship. He meets a dragon who shows him these visions of what's going on in this bigger picture. It's obviously, I don't know, obviously, much from that, but it was intriguing enough for myself, yes.
Did you get into any battles? What is the combat system like?
I didn't get that far.
Really? You turned it off? Oh, my God. Okay, right. I'm gonna
traversing around, riding on the dragon, which is a lot slower pace than it is, obviously, in the more arcade-style shooting Panzer Dragoon games.
Okay.
That was fine, and that's how you would traverse the landscapes and get from one place to the other.
Is it possible to save on this first disc?
Yes, you find save points.
Did you save?
Yes.
Okay.
I saved right after I'd done the first flying segment, just before I was being introduced to the combat.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Mm. So I'm going to, if you don't, I'm going to pick up the controller and see what the combat system's like. I'm probably going to start it from the beginning, though, because I want to watch the 15-minute cutscene.
It's actually very cinematic, and it's worth a look. But when I put in a game, I want to play it.
I'm very afraid that if I play that game, I'm going to buy it. That's my only constraint.
It's a very highly regarded game. It's best game on Saturn, a lot of people say.
Yeah.
I think it's averaging like 92% on some online database.
Yeah, reviews. I'm just going to look up a price out of interest because I, like I said, I reckon it's about 260 quid or it was.
I've heard it's about $300 at the moment, at least. But it's interesting that I read a bit about its development and the director of the game said, because I found it interesting that a game like this with this kind of scope and vision was developed for the Saturn. It wasn't really a console known for these kind of sprawling adventure-type games.
No, certainly not. I mean, I can't really think of another JRPG on there other than Grandia, which saw a release in the West on the PS1.
There are a couple more. I've got a Japanese one called Vakkenroder.
Okay, there's a few Shining RPG games as well, right? There's one or two of the Shining Force games.
Yeah, there's a... There are a few on there, but in terms of something developed in 3D, for example, because the Saturn wasn't really well known for its 3D capabilities. In fact, I think they were integrated into the system last minute after Sega saw what Sony had with the PlayStation.
Oh, it's not as expensive as I thought it was.
Yeah?
It's £174 by it now.
Wow, that's still quite a lot of money.
Oh, but that means auction prices are probably less. Mm.
Sample the first dismount, and then maybe next week we can find out maybe your feelings on Panzer Dragoon and find out if Matt has decided to
well, theoretically speaking, I'm gonna jump into what I bought briefly this week. I picked up a Mega Drive one with a copy of a game I've previously picked up. I own two copies of quite a rare Mega Drive game now called Separation Anxiety, which is a Spider-Man game developed by published at least by Acclaim's LJN wing, the notorious rainbow label of Doom. And unlike Total Carnage, which is this game's sister title, Venom Separation Anxiety isn't supposed to be very good, but is ludicrously rare in comparison. Now, a good copy of this will sell on eBay for about 120 quid, and now as I've got two of them that are in pretty good nick from what I could see in the photograph, I'm very tempted to maybe see if I could sell those and buy it, perhaps.
Yes.
My gateway drugs to Panzer Dragoon Saga. I also got some very nice other games. There's, like I said, there's a Mega Drive one that's apparently a bit temperamental. Fortunately, I have a bootlegged Japanese Mega Drive one that I've been wanting to try out for a couple of weeks.
Is it Japanese, or is it just based on how the Japanese model looks?
It's from a Taiwanese company that I can't remember the name of. It's been a while since I did my research on that bootleg console I've got. But I got a copy of Sonic 1, Sonic 2, Streets of Rage 3, which I've been dying to play. And it's quite an obscure game in itself. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade as well. And then Bugs Bunny Double Trouble or something like that, which should be all right. Looney Tunes games generally are okay.
Yeah, there's some good ones on the Mega Drive, like Taz Escape from Mars. And
oh, what a good game that is.
There's quite a few of them. I played another Saturn game this morning called Johnny Bazooka Tone.
Yes.
This is a side-scrolling platform game. Similar in aesthetic to something like Donkey Kong Country, and also has a good soundtrack like Donkey Kong Country.
Yes.
James said that the gameplay doesn't quite measure up to that particular title. It's a game I found I had to adjust to because there are some annoying little bits of it.
Really?
The design and how the platforming functions, and I actually had to ask Matt for some help on it, which he actually did manage to work out.
I figured it out pretty quick.
Didn't have a manual, so basically I couldn't get to a certain area and it realised there was a way to jump further than I was doing.
Yeah, well, it's got a nice little mechanic where if you jump and because you got a gun, your gun's got kind of like feedback, it kind of moves you a little bit when you fire.
Yeah, which
so
is
if you aim
cool,
down when you jump, then you can kind of hover jump, which is kind of cool.
Mm. Problems I encountered with it was the whole jumping thing, I guess I could have avoided because I found a lot of things that are happening in the game. I was not being able to get across certain areas without damaging myself because I could only jump a certain distance. I can see being able to avoid a lot of those problems now with having learned how to actually control the game. So maybe that's not such a bad thing. But enemies do kind of just pop up out of the ground in places, and that's kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
Because it starts off, you're like exiting some kind of asylum, some sort of prison.
Okay.
And it's very spooky atmosphere and with a backing of kind of slow jazz music.
I like the slow jazz music. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's actually the game comes with its soundtrack on the second disc. So
that's cool.
They're very proud of their work and soundtrack, which, you know, from the one track I've heard so far. Because it took quite a while to get to a point where I became comfortable with the game and how it played, and I was making a lot of silly errors to begin with, because even though I didn't get to play a lot, it was very challenging. Even though I didn't cover much levels, I couldn't just zip through it.
Yeah,
levels had sort of really tricky elements that you had to kind of learn, and there is a little bit of memory in learning the levels that I found helped. You can't just breeze through it. You have to take it slowly, and it's that kind of platform game.
It kind of reminded me a bit in its tone, especially with the music of Rayman, Ubisoft's original on the PS1.
I think it's also it is of the same era as Rayman.
But it felt of the same ilk. Like, while this has kind of got more of a clay character style for it, like, and Rayman's is obviously hand illustrated, like, a lot of the level design and a lot of the aesthetic kind of felt in the same ballpark for me as Rayman's
did. It was quite kind of fat, chunky graphics, all kind of CG rendered, sort of simple 3D models.
Yeah.
Johnny himself is an interesting character. He's got it's a bit like Elvis, but he's got a little goatee and his hair's purple.
And his colour scheme is so 90s.
Wears shades. He comes across as a pretty cool character, and like a lot of pretenders.
Rascal!
And he has this interesting thing. He has a bazooka, which is kind of like a guitar.
Yes.
So he strums this bazooka and it fires bullets.
Hence the name Bazooka Tone.
It actually reminded me a lot of Captain Quasar in aesthetic on the...
You keep mentioning this
3DO.
Game, yet you were the only person who knows it. I hope you realise that.
Is that when these digitised kind of 3D rendered characters were at their forefront, you know, games like Captain Quasar and this one. And what's his name? That one on Sega begins with a V. Vectorman.
Yes.
It's the same kind of style as that sort of thing.
Interesting. Okay.
So I spent so much time with it this morning replaying the levels. Once I got up to the third stage and was encountering some mild frustration, I turned it off. But yeah. I did keep coming back to it. It wasn't a game that after my first couple of deaths, I thought, well, this is crap. I'll not bother with it. You know, there was something about the gameplay that was rather addicting.
Yeah.
It was just challenging and it wasn't perfect. Some things were a bit off, but as I say, once I learned how the jumping mechanic, it was, it's not bad. I think it's worth checking out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go out of your way to purchase the game. I wouldn't like to say that yet. Maybe I need to spend a bit more time with it. And then I'll tell you if it's worth your time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would be mean to try that for a while. I bought it some time ago.
Well, it looked pretty cool. I saw it. It's also available on the PlayStation 1, right?
It is, yes. So I imagine more people own PlayStation 1s and Saturns.
Yeah. So maybe if you own it on the PS1, get hold of it. If you've got a chip one, then I guess just download it if you can't find it. It's a pretty obscure game, right, from what I understand.
Not that obscure. I don't know. It seems to be relatively common on the Saturn, I think.
Okay, maybe it's just different to the console then.
It wasn't expensive anyway.
Yeah, I spent most of my free time this week playing Alien 3 on the Game Boy, which I won't talk that much about because I've done a full biographic over at youtube.com/biographic. Well, Thomas, it's a YouTube channel I've been doing over the last couple of months that focuses on Game Boy games and the obscure gems of the system and also some of the classics developed by Nintendo. I recently been doing a video on Alien 3, as I said, which is a game made by a company, British one, called Bits Studios. And essentially, it's a survival horror game for the Game Boy that no one seems to have given really any attention to, like in every history of survival horror article I've read over the last week leading up to Halloween. I've not seen any mention of it, and I think it's a bit of a shame because it does a lot of stuff, and from what one of the guys developing the game told me, it was made in 6 weeks by essentially a very, very small team. And for what it does right, it's fantastic. It's got a few little clunky bits, but you can see them in the video. So kind of inspired by my playthrough of Alien 3, again, published by Acclaim's LJN wing, I went out and bought the new Alien title, Alien Isolation, published by Sega. And I'm kind of not sure yet. Like, I'm about a third of the way into the game. And while I appreciate the aesthetic of the game, it can look very nice at some times, and some of the things that you can do in the game, like building things.
It looks a bit rubbery,
things,
doesn't it? Everyone looks a little bit plastic.
They do.
Yeah. It's a pleasing aesthetic, but it's not quite realistic.
It's not based in realism. It's kind of like a stylized approach.
Very stylized,
I would say. Yeah. And I'm liking it. Like, it's not a bad game for what it does, but I'm not really that partial to stealth games. And I will say it's a stealth game because even though there is combat in play and you can use guns and stuff, you may as well not. Like, I've got a revolver. I put 9.
That works well enough.
But it doesn't. Like, it can only kill people, and there's synthetic creatures, and obviously the alien
is... Well, you can kill them if you fire enough shots, Sam.
I fired 9 bullets into one guy.
I fired about 5 into the head the other day and killed it.
Oh, God. But, like, I've got 9 bits of ammunition. That's all I've found. So it's kind of...
It's kind of redundant.
Yeah.
At this point, at least.
Well, that's true. Well, there are people, and, like, you can kill them with a headshot, obviously, but for the most of the time, you're not really fighting people. You've got this constant alien threat. And for those of you who've seen footage, the game has been out for a while now. Like, you can hide from the alien.
You say constant alien threat.
Well,
it isn't constant because he's not always about, is he?
He can be. He can pop up. Like, to be honest, I'm kind of glad by how minimized it is. Like, you talked to me off the podcast when I said I was considering getting it. You heard that the bits without the alien are quite dull.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I would actually say, for me, someone who doesn't like a stealth game, the bits without the alien are actually more enjoyable.
But this seems to be mostly wandering around, hacking into computers and playing, like, button-mashing mini-games.
Yes, and this is true. Like, the gameplay outside of the alien part aren't too impressive. Like, I would have much preferred it if it had had a bit of a more combat focus, if there was something to do. It feels
opening
like
doors.
It feels like Bioshock, like, mm-hmm. and I can kind of see what they've gone for. They've gone for Bioshock Infinite without the constant need for combat.
Mm.
But while everyone kind of criticized Bioshock for that, saying like, hey, like, this combat gets in the way of a beautiful story that has really deep meaning, etc., etc. Without the combat, you just kind of feel bored. Like, yeah. You're just wandering around doing a few minigames and stuff.
Does this game have a good story?
Seems that way so far. Like I said, I'm about a third of the way into it. Essentially, the opening plot of the game is that 25 years after the disappearance of the Nostromo in Alien 1, Ripley's daughter is informed that they have found the ship and that they have secured the black box and the flight recording so they can see what happened to her mother. And while they can't find her, like, they're aware that this black box might contain evidence to that or something that can point them in the way. Mm. I'm about a third of the way into the game, and it seems like the only reason that they were going to this space station is that they were aware the company in the Alien films, if you're familiar with them, knew that the Xenomorph was on board. And that is why they've now gone, because they're trying to collect the sample of the Xenomorph so they can bring it back to Earth to study. But that's all implied, and I don't even know if that's true. It kind of seems to be hinting that way, and I won't be surprised seeing that Alien 3 kind of turns out that way in the end. But all in all, it's all right. Like, I wouldn't say it's breathtaking or anything. I'm playing it more for the story at the moment. I'm actually putting the difficulty down to easy because I was just like, I'm shit at stealth games.
Interesting, and you pointed out to me earlier the use of the PlayStation camera.
Yes, there are some very cool things. The PlayStation camera has a facial recognition factor where if you press the R1 button, you can go into kind of like a lean mode. And then you can use your head to tilt to the left or right to see around an object.
Did that work okay?
Yeah, it worked fine. I didn't realise I had to press a button when I tried to show you, but yeah, once I realised, oh crap, I have to press the R1 button and then lean out to the sides. It was all right. Unfortunately, when I was playing it on Friday, the first day I got it, I started laying down while playing the game and then having to lean. Like, after pressing the R1 button while I was already laying down, I was kind of stuck in the unfortunate position that the alien was around the corner, and then I had to kind of like push my head off the couch and around it to lean out to the left to see where the alien was, which wasn't very comfortable.
Mm.
And sitting up just meant that I was leaned out to the right, which wasn't very good either. There's also a sound thing where you can use the PlayStation's camera to be aware of like sounds, or like, you know, it doesn't go down to you holding your breath on the game. You just got to be deadly silent in real life. Really? But I was waiting for a call from my girlfriend, so I didn't want to let the alien kill me because of social obligations, so I didn't put that bit on, but I've heard it's all right.
Yeah, it's nice to hear they're trying some new things with the hardware that they've got, the abilities of the PlayStation 4. Would you say graphically that it was showing off the power of the console?
I would not say. No? Looks okay. There's some very jerky cutscenes, like when it cuts between what would essentially be in a film camera shots. It kind of has like a second loady thing that kind of makes it a bit disorientated. It looks all right. It's not like a bad looking game by any means, but it just looks
there are moments where it looks really nice, but
it's kind of like towards the arse end of the last console generation.
It's developed for all formats, isn't it?
It is, so yes, and that has an impact on the game, unfortunately. Yeah. But it's all right. I'm going to continue playing it because I paid full price for it here in Denmark, which ain't cheap. And because I want to know the story, I am engaged enough to want to continue the story, even though I am, for all intents and purposes, and I will go on record saying it, shit at the game. So, what else have you been playing, Tom?
Not that much else, to be honest. I mentioned it last week, I think. I purchased Burnout Revenge on the Xbox 360 Arcade.
You did.
It was on offer for £5. This was a game I have very fond memories of, one of my most played games back on the original Xbox, actually. And it was nice. It's nice to have a version of it for the 360. You know, it's more easily accessible to me, and it feels faster
Yeah.
For some reason. I don't know. Maybe the loading's faster. The actual driving also feels a little bit faster. Of course, my favourite way of playing Burnout Revenge, because it's quite a good game to release a bit of aggression as you plough through traffic, is while listening to your own music, and usually sort of rock music.
Yeah.
So that ability you've still got on the 360, you know, okay. Tap into your songs stored on there, and yeah. It's a good, and I'm just so surprised at how well it holds up now, because it was good back in the day, but I wondered, because it's slightly it's an older game, it was released right at the beginning of the 360's lifespan.
2006 then, is it?
But yeah, pretty
or
much.
Or 5.
Because I'm guessing it must have been, because it was released on both formats.
Yeah.
But it's so smooth, it handles so well, and it's so light, and it's just perfect. Really, yeah. It's one of the best driving experience, arcade-style driving experiences I've ever had in a game.
Yeah, 2005.
Yeah, it's in HD as well, which I guess EA were making a point at the start of the game, which is EA HD.
Like, really? It's in like, so yeah, it's you've paid an extra 15 quid for this game. Yeah. Jazz hands.
Graphic, I guess it doesn't look as polished as a lot of the games released later on in the lifespan of the console, but it's certainly serviceable, and it's fast.
It came out 2006. It came out a little bit later on the Xbox 360, but...
I guess it's running at like 60 frames per second. It must be.
Yeah.
Because it is blisteringly speedy.
I guess they got the ability. Obviously, they probably just looked at it on the Xbox and like, okay, well, we can do this on the Xbox. Let's just ramp it up a little bit on the 360.
Yeah, it certainly feels like that. So I've been playing a little bit of that. Other than that, my usuals, Matt.
Soul Calibur, Mario Kart.
Yeah. Super Mario Brothers for the Wii U.
The original.
New Super Mario Brothers Wii U, which is great fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I nearly finished it now. I'm on the last world, I think. I just go back into it every now and again when I can't decide what to play. I always rely on Mario Kart and that pretty much on the Wii.
Well, you know, they're kind of nice pick-up and play titles, aren't they? They're nothing too demanding.
Yeah, which is how I feel a lot when at this current stage in how I play video games.
Yeah. Yeah. You just want something you can pick up and put down.
I didn't feel like Bayonetta today. Or yesterday.
I did feel like Bayonetta, but then I was like, well, I should probably play more of Aliens.
Mm.
Since, as I imagine, as good as Bayonetta 2 is, and I now have my copy of it, I wouldn't imagine it would be that much different from Bayonetta 1, whereas Alien Isolation may have had some new stuff to it, and I wanted to play it a bit more before I talked about it on here.
I do want to play anything too stressful. That was basically what it was.
Really?
Some easy gaming was what was called for, I think, this last week.
Okay, fair enough.
I bought a few things.
Yeah.
I bought something today, actually, again on the Xbox 360 Arcade. I noticed that Turtles Out of the Shadows was on offer for £3 something.
I have no idea what that is. Enlighten me.
That was a download-only Turtles game, which was made sort of tie-in with the animated series.
Oh, that one. You played it and quite enjoyed it back in the day.
I played
like
the demo
of it. Yeah.
That's right. And, well, I didn't think it was the most amazing game I've ever played. It was pretty good, and it was interested me enough to convince me to part with £3 something to own the full game.
Yeah.
It's stylistically, it keeps the character designs of the TV series, but then ramps up the realism a lot. So it feels like it's in the same universe, but the turtles look more like real turtles. It's kind of what the new Turtles movie would have been if they'd have kind of kept it more in line with the current TV show.
Okay.
So, looking forward to spending a little bit more time with that. It seems to be a combat-heavy type game, which I enjoy those sort of things.
Yeah.
So that was a purchase, not my only purchase this week. I also purchased a book.
Oh, really?
Not a game, a book. This book's called The Mega Drive / Genesis Collected Works. It's a 300-odd page hardback tome about the history of the Mega Drive console, with plenty of artwork and interviews with people involved in the console's creation. And
cool
being a Sega fan from a young age, this interests me. So I'm looking forward to receiving that. It's £35. Quite a pricey thing, but a very nice thing.
That's cool.
You can get hold of it from readonlymemory.vg.
Okay.
They seem to be a small publisher who uses Kickstarter backing to get these books made. They've done another book on Sensible Software as well.
Okay.
The studio who developed Sensible Soccer,
among
other things. If that sounds interesting, you check out the website. I think £35 is quite reasonable. It's a very glossy, full-colour book.
Yes.
So for those Sega fans, it's, I think, a must-have.
You mentioned it to me, and then I did some research myself, and there is a Game Boy equivalent of such a book. However, it is only available in French.
Oh.
It is called Le Bible de Game Boy. It's literally called that. I'm sorry for the
accent.
The
Bible of the Game Boy.
The Bible.
Game Boy Bible.
Yeah, the Game Boy Bible, essentially. And it is a rundown of essentially all the artwork and all the games on the original Game Boy, which I thought was very cool. I think it only covers the releases in France, though, rather than the rest of the European releases. But France got a good chunk of the releases. Got some of the ones we didn't, such as Hammer and Harry and Trip World. So, I've also been playing a game by a French developer called Christophe Galati. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And he's creating a game called, me trying to pronounce Japanese. It's called Save Me, Mr. Taco, but it's got a hyphen before it called Tasuketi Taco-san. And it's a game where it's styled very much like a Game Boy game, but it's on PC, Linux, and Mac. There's a demo currently available at his website, which is christophegalati.fr. I'll put it in the description of the podcast and tweet it on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. But it's essentially a game where you play a little squid, and it's a randomly generated side-scrolling adventure game where you have to save a load of girls who are being held hostage by this evil squid. You yourself are also a squid, and all you can really do is go up, down, jump, and fire ink. But it's pretty cool because it's all randomly generated, so every time you play it, it's a different experience. And yeah, seemed pretty fun. I only had a little bit of a dabble. My PC was also trying to render something at the same time, so I didn't get the smoothness of it that I've seen in the demo. But yeah, seemed pretty great. Check it out.
I made another purchase myself this week.
Oh, really?
That was a CDI console.
Yes, you did buy a CDI console.
I actually already own a CDI console, but
carrying on your trend of having two versions of the same console when a redesign happens, yeah.
Yeah, so I recently picked up one of the Wii Minis, and it made me think about, hang on, I sort of own at least two different versions of
most consoles.
For example, Mega Drive, Mega Drive 2, and so on and forth. I mentioned this on the podcast previously, but at present, back in the UK, I have the CDI 450, which was the later model of the console, which was made to look a little bit more like a games console. Opposed to this version that I bought yesterday, which was the original one, which looks a lot more like a DVD player.
Yes.
With a disc tray. This was the one that I played on back in the day when my uncle introduced me to the CDI. So, yes, I have a soft spot for the CDI, and if I didn't, I might not be as inclined to pick
because another one. As we mentioned at the start of this podcast, you were browsing eBay for CDI games before this podcast. And
I realise I actually have quite a few, most of the most notable titles, the good ones.
Yes.
The ones that actually could be considered playable video games. Because unfortunately, the CDI doesn't have a lot of that type of thing. If you're not... Yeah. If you're a gamer, more so than someone who's interested in video games, you're not going to let it get a lot of fun out of the CDI, I don't think. There are, as I say, certain titles which are enjoyable. But for me, it's because I played these growing up, they have a nostalgia value to me. And some are great games. I mean, there's versions of Lemmings you can get on the CDI. There's Tetris, a platform game called The Apprentice, which is a lot of fun. Little Devil, Dragon's Lair, Dragon's Lair 2. Just to name it, to name a few, but that's really to name most of the...
name all of the good games.
Good games on CDI. But, I'm interested as much about the games as I am about the heritage of the console, and it appeals to me.
Yeah.
I got a few games with this CDI. A few of them I had already. That with Lemmings and Tetris and Mutant Rampage Body Slam, which I didn't mention before, but is quite a strong side-scrolling beat-em-up for the system.
Yeah.
And the most gamey-type game available for the CDI, I'd probably have to say. But it also came with a few games that I don't already have, namely Lords of the Rising Sun, which I found out was, I think, an Amiga game originally. And it was, remade for the CDI, if it's the same game, that is. Quite a famous game called Voyeur.
Yes. Sexing time.
Yeah. I remember my uncle had this game. I never played it because I was too young.
He also had, what was the other game? Vegas Girls. Yeah. Which seems very similar to like Bubble Bath Babes and the like on the NES.
Yeah, but with FMV, of course, because it's a CDI.
Yeah, because you can't put porn in it.
A game called Mystic Midway. This was the first Mystic Midway title to be released. There's two. There's one, it's like a virtual roller coaster, which looks dire. And this one called Mystic Midway Rest in Pieces. And it's a shooting gallery, basically, with a bit of FMV of a guy kind of... He seems very harsh.
Yeah.
He seems to like to remind you that you're crap. Imagine, well, maybe it's just a really difficult game, but the video I was watching, the player wasn't doing so well, and this guy would pop up every so often and tell you...
It seemed very annoying.
Just what he thought. So... Can't say I'm particularly looking forward to that, but I'd definitely give it a try. Because it was more the system I was after. The only other thing that came with it was Top Gun on video CD.
Yeah.
Because, of course, the CDI, with its digital video cartridge, of course, plays video CD movies. A format that Matt wasn't that familiar with.
No, I wasn't. I remember having CDs in the mid-90s, early 2000s, that had... this function on it, and then I never really used it because I just used to pop it into the thing. Wasn't there also like a DVD CD thing as well? Wasn't there like some hybrid that way?
I think the video CD is that. You know, it was a precursor to having films on DVD.
Because I've got some singles that have this feature, and obviously I was at home, I would have checked them.
It would have been video CD, I think.
It must have been, I'm pretty sure. But... yeah, it's not something I was really that familiar with. Like, but then again, I wasn't really that familiar with Laserdisc as a kid either. Yeah. So
it was a bit of, didn't really catch on video CD. People still buying VHSs. The problem with it is the encoding. Things could look very blocky at times. When things were moving fast, the picture would kind of pixelate, and it wasn't really ideal format for films. That and the fact that a lot of films had to span two discs because of the limited storage of a CD.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you've got pretty limited size on a CD.
Mm.
So I can imagine that, especially during movement, as you say, that the frame rate would just go out of the fucking roof.
Yeah, it's like it has to be compressed so much to fit.
Yeah.
That the picture quality...
is dire.
Isn't great at times.
It's like watching video... that you used to download off the internet.
I'd probably say it was better than a VHS.
Yeah, well, perhaps. Depends what it's doing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that the CDI was trying to push this video CD thing, interactive movie-type experiences, educational software. And that's primarily what you get on the CDI. So, as I say, it's not... the greatest games console ever made, and one for most, I think, is better left ignored.
Still like 200 games on the system,
there's
though.
240 odd games for the CDI. I'd say games.
Yes.
I think a lot of them are very loosely games.
A lot of football titles, though, from the looks of things.
Striker Pro and Ultra CDI Soccer, I think.
Yes, Ultra CDI
are a couple
CDI
of examples.
Soccer.
There's still a few games I'd like to get for it. Thunder in Paradise.
Yes, with Terry Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, which was an interactive version of one of the episodes of the TV show with the speedboat.
Yeah.
A bit like Knight Rider on water with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, pretty much. Do you reckon he's just kind of got the episode on there? Because the trailer we saw of it, the director seemed very amazed that this was just like the episode they just shot, but interactive. So do you reckon you could just, if you wanted,
you can just watch the episode.
Yeah,
that's true. I think it's on a second disc or something. You can just watch the episode.
Okay.
Or you can play. I think the differences are that in the interactive one, the shooting segments, you can use the light gun for. I can't remember much else in terms of gameplay. Maybe you got to do something with the boat, but no, I just remember the shooting bits.
Okay.
To be honest.
Fair enough. There's probably a reason for that, Tom.
But I'd like to pick that one up. And there was a game called Laser Lords, which and I remember being tempted by as a kid, just because it had this funky looking sci-fi lizard in it.
Yeah, that was really weird. You showed me the trailer of that, and there was like a lizard puppet that was just in stills. Like it was like they'd gone through the trouble of making the puppet, but then we're like, oh shit, we have no animation budget. Let's just take pictures.
So it's probably the wrong thing to do to base my purchase on the fact that I like the puppet.
I think you should. I really think you should.
It's a very affordable game, so I might pick it up.
I think you need to, and I think you need to make a video on it.
That and Cluedo as well. Which comes with its own pens and
God,
game
why
cards.
Does a video game come with pens and game cards? It's the whole fucking
point.
Yeah, I know, but like you could just get DVDs, which I guess it is essentially a DVD board game. But even then, you could probably still write things down on the game. Other than that, I've picked up one or two little Game Boy things. I got a copy of Game Boy Gallery 2, which is not the black cart that you may all be familiar with. It's actually the Australian only, and it was the original in Japan, version of Game & Watch Gallery. Mm. It's got a much nicer label, whereas Game & Watch Gallery's just got that shield on a purple background. The Gallery 2 has like Mario and Bowser and Peach and Luigi kind of popping out of the screen trying to grab a Game Boy, and it looked kind of cool. And I've seen it go for a lot more than I bought it for. I've seen it being sold for about 12, 15 quid, and then with postage on top. But the version I had was a very affordable £3 with £1 postage, so I said, I'll have it. Why not? It's a nice label variant. Mm-hmm. And then I picked up the quite obscure but apparently delightful Felix the Cat, which is based, as you know, off of the cartoon Felix the Cat. There's also an NES version of the same game. They're pretty much straight ports, but both are very fun to play and both are quite obscure. So looking forward to finally getting that. I actually saw it. I went to like a car trade show a couple of months back because they had this huge flea market that people come from miles around to attend. And I might mention it on a podcast, like a guy just had a trays and trays and trays of Game Boy games. And thinking back to it now, there are some titles that if I would have been as in the know as I am now, I would have just bought flat out. But unfortunately, don't do that. Play it on the edge.
I know. It's nice.
But unfortunately, I wasn't really that clued up on the Game Boy library at that time. And so I missed out on a copy of Hammer and Harry, which I could have had for next to nothing. I missed out on a copy of Felix Cat. I missed out on a copy of Bionic Commando, which I've seen twice. I also missed out on a copy of that in Copenhagen a couple of months back. When we were in Copenhagen on a work-related trip, someone had it in the flea market. I asked them to put it behind for me. Then I went to borrow money off someone, and then when I went back, it wasn't there. The guy who was on the stall at the time had left, and the other guy didn't know what he was. Curses!
Fooey!
Yes. Other than that, that's pretty much me done, I think. That's all I've played and all I've bought. It's been a pretty busy week.
It has been a busy week this week. I haven't got anything else to add to that, Matthew.
Fair enough.
We've all dried up.
We are. I think we should wrap up then.
How about we talk about the latest releases for
I
this
think
next
we
week?
Should,
Not that
Thomas.
We'll be buying any of them.
Do you reckon? Are they that poor? Well, Call of Duty is
Call of Duty's
the glaringly obvious one
on
that I think a lot of people would be excited
of
by.
November, I imagine there's a lot of people excited about that. It's being released on the PlayStation 4.
Or not,
4
as the internet would seem.
Xbox
all
One.
I've seen on our Twitter feed is just people slagging off the idea of another Call of Duty game, so maybe it's finally that
looks
time.
Like this
whereas
one, you know, it seems like it's quite a vision they have for this game of making something which bridges a gap between a movie and a game. Very
yes.
cinematic. They've got Kevin Spacey in there.
They have.
Which they keep pushing in everyone's face.
Yeah, it's
He's
just
quite
like, hey, we
prominent
paid
in the trailers, isn't he?
We paid a lot for this actor.
Mm. So that will no doubt be interesting. I'd like to see what the game's like, if it changes things up at all, if it, you know, uses the next-gen hardware to its advantage.
I won't be buying it.
It's not released on the current gen, so it's really
no, it is a next-gen console game, which is kind of nice. But I know people who will be getting it. I'll sample it via them rather than buying it, because I'm not going to pay full price for a Call of Duty game.
On the 7th of November, Football Manager 2015, very popular series.
A game that I know several listeners of this podcast and close personal friends back home will be devoting their lives to for the next several months.
Rocksmith 2014. Rocksmith are still...
Still going strong.
Still going strong,
still teaching people how to play guitar.
Ultimate NES Remix is also released for the 3DS, which is, I guess, a...
Did we get a physical copy of Ultimate NES Remix like the States did? Because in America and Japan, you can buy a physical copy of NES Remix 1 and 2 on
For the
disc.
Wii U?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I would like to get,
no,
if I could.
No, we didn't.
That's a bit of a shame.
It's digital only.
Yeah.
But now you can buy a physical copy for your 3DS in Ultimate NES Remix.
Oh, okay.
Which I guess is just a compilation of the two games smashed together.
Yes.
And of course, on the 11th of November, Halo the Master Chief Collection is released.
Yes.
A lot of people I know are very excited about that. I'm afraid I'm not one of them.
I'm not either. It may be to do with the fact I do own an Xbox One, but it's not a game that's going to sell it to me. Maybe a few months down the line, if I own one, I'll pick it up.
Playing through all the Halo games on the same console. I say all of them, all the ones with Master Chief as the protagonist.
Yeah, not my favourite ODST. That's a shame.
So, yeah, that's cool. I'll stick to playing Halo Reach for the time being. That's there's a game coming out on the 12th of November called Toy Box Turbos.
Interesting.
Which I think sounds like a racing game. It's on 360 and PlayStation 3 and PC.
Yeah.
And then the 13th, we've got... It's actually a big month for games in November.
Well, of course it is, yes.
I mean, you've got Assassin's Creed coming out.
When is that out? And is that Rogue or Unity?
That's Rogue and Unity.
When are they both out?
The 13th
of
November.
Might have to buy at least one of
those. What's the difference between Rogue and Unity?
Rogue is a Assassin's Creed game where you finally play as a Templar. It is only released on the PS3 and the Xbox 360.
Oh, so they're hoping to sell two games.
Well, no, it's just that Unity is using a lot of engines and stuff that won't run on the previous consoles. Ubisoft,
but there are different games.
Ubisoft has actually said...
Developed two games.
We're developing two games because we can't port Unity. It's not possible.
What does that mean? Are these games both of the same quality? That's what interests me.
Yeah.
Have they got enough resources to...
What's very interesting to me, actually, is that I've not seen a lot of Unity, which has me a bit worried. Because Rogue was on display at EGX, and I saw it, and it looked okay. I didn't get a chance to play it because the queue was around the corner. But, yeah, it looked okay. Like, to be honest, it seems to be... From what I remember of the trailer, I think he's Irish, and he's a Templar who used to be an assassin. But he's killing assassins rather than killing Templars, which is generally the goal of Assassin's Creed.
Is it too much Assassin's Creed to be given in one dollop?
Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, it's essentially the same way that they did Call of Duty games back in the day. Likewise, you got Call of Duty 2 on the Xbox 360. You got then the Big Red one on Xbox and PS2.
And like, I guess not everyone has the next gen yet.
Well, no, of course not. So. I mean, and people still want Assassin's Creed. Like, I guess they're afraid of leaving the people with next gen consoles without an Assassin's Creed game. But they're getting their own unique one, much like the Vita did with Liberation, which is still unplayed. Very curious about it. Like, if Rogue is substantially cheaper, maybe I'll pick that up first and then get Unity. But my...
See what the reviews are like. See how it's received.
This is the thing. Like, my lack of knowledge of Unity, whereas Black Flag was shoved down our throats for months on end, kind of has me a bit worried
about
it.
But you didn't play any more Black Flag, did you?
No, I kind of lost interest.
Also on the same day, Pro Evo 2015 is being released on 360, PS3, PS4, Xbox One... there's no Wii U releases yet.
No.
I haven't seen.
There aren't any.
Until?
28th of November.
Until the 14th of November when Lego Batman 3 Beyond Gotham is released.
I need to buy that because it's got a Plastic Man figure.
For all of them, all the formats, of course, it's a Lego game, so you wouldn't have it any other way. And 17th, Company of Heroes 2 for the PC, Arden's Assault. Grand Theft Auto 5 has finally been released on the PS4 and Xbox One on the 18th of November.
Yeah.
New Adventure Time games on the 21st of November. Adventure Time, The Secret of the Nameless Kingdom is on 3DS, Xbox 360, PS3. Dragon Age Dragon Age 3 is out on practically everything, apart from Wii U, of course. Escape Dead Island is everything apart from Wii U. Far Cry 4.
Yeah.
Whoa. I thought Shadow Mordor was out, but it's not.
Not on PC.
No, I thought it was out on PC, but it's not out on 360.
Oh, no, it isn't out on the last-gen consoles. But
oh, that's it. It is now.
A tip to those who are planning on buying it for the last-gen consoles, don't. I would wait until you have 21st. A next-gen console, purely because that version of the game does not include the Nemesis system, which is something they're not really shouting from the rooftops, which is the main selling point, from what I can understand, of that game. Like, this idea that enemies remember... Well, like... You're not playing. You're just playing Assassin's Creed, though. Like, you're not playing the thing that makes the award-winning game it is.
Sonic Boom is out on the same day, 21st.
Are you going to pick up Sonic Boom?
Yes, because I like Sonic.
Good.
I'll buy the Wii U
version. Is it on the Wii U?
Yeah.
Okay.
I won't buy the 3DS one, but I'll buy the Wii U one. WWE 2K15, and that's enough. I'll give you that for now.
Yeah.
Because November is a pretty full month. Okay, can I finish off November?
Go for it, go on.
Okay, Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions, PS4, Xbox One, and Xbox 360.
By who?
I don't know, because Bizarre Creation.
That's what I'm saying, like,
anymore.
Who developed it?
Yeah, not sure. Little Big Planet 3, not only just coming out on PS4, but also PS3.
It is indeed, yeah.
Crazy. Raven's Crime, 27th of November, don't know what that is, it's on PC and Mac. And at the very end of November, you get Pokemon Alpha Sapphire and Pokemon Omega Ruby.
Yes, which if you buy together in
3DS.
A 3DS box set, you save a lot of money and you get loads of free items for, I think it's Amazon exclusive.
Well, that's November. That's exciting. So
that
I'll be getting
pretty
Sonic.
Crazy. Like, have you seen
Sonic
that
Boom.
Deal? You can pretty much buy both copies of it for the same price as buying one.
Really?
Yeah, in a little
I
box.
Never feel the need to buy both.
Yeah,
like
neither
if
do
find
I.
Find a
but
friend who's got the other one.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think I'm going to buy it. I think X and Y kind of did me enough Pokemon. For now.
I'm on the fence.
I'll probably end up picking it up at some point, but I'm not really rushing out to buy it.
I'll just get Sonic, I think, in November. Yeah. I'm intrigued with the Lego Batman 3, but I'm not in any rush to play it. I've hardly played Marvel once. So.
I shall investigate through channels about maybe borrowing a copy of it. See how it plays. Right?
And that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much for listening indeed. If you would like to get in contact with us, you can do so on our Twitter at TMAcast. You can also go to facebook.com and give us a like there at facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack. While you're on Facebook, you should go to Brass Process as well, facebook.com/BrassProcess, and like up there our brothers in arms in delivering you the latest and greatest in gaming content.
There's actually something about Alien Isolation up there at the moment.
There is. The boys are playing it with a Oculus Rift
on the PC.
Which would probably terrify me if the graphics weren't so rubbery. I would also recommend that you go into iTunes and you give us a cheeky rate and subscribe there. And then you can listen to us in your ear holes every week. Every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday. This is us.
76 episodes in. I am Tom.
And yeah.
That was Tom and Matt Attack.
Until next time, guys. Game on.
Game on.